Lecture 22, A Renaissance of Byzantine Letters and Arts.
In this lecture, I want to look at the cultural changes in the Comnenian Age for the Byzantine world, and it's a period that's often seen as part of a Byzantine Renaissance. And actually, that should be qualified. There's, in effect, two Byzantine renaissances. One is in the 9th and 10th centuries under the Macedonian emperors, the early Macedonian emperors. There's then a lull in patronage in the late 11th century. And then starting with Alexis I and his fiscal reforms, especially in 1092, where he reforms the currency, there's a second wave of that renaissance, a second installment, which continues through the whole Comnenian period and even into the early 13th century in some ways. And those great achievements, achievements in literary arts and visual arts, had a profound impact not only for the Byzantine world, but ultimately for Western Europe, because a number of those achievements in the 12th and early 13th century, in some form or another, were eventually transmitted to Italy and to Western Europe, fed into the Florentine Enlightenment and the whole European rediscovery of its Hellenic classical past. The crusading efforts at that time were only a first step in that transmission, and it should be kept in perspective that the Crusades themselves did not initiate a major cultural exchange, although they led to conditions that eventually did so. Well, what I wish to do in this lecture is look at three significant points. First is the achievements in literary production, starting with Alexis I. Then to look at changes in visual arts and architecture, and these achievements, especially in the decorative arts and the mosaics and the frescoes, these were actually transmitted rather quickly to Western Europe, especially through Venice and Norman Sicily. And then finally, I want to look at some of the implications of the whole cultural change in the 12th century and why it was going to be important not only for the Byzantine world but also for Western Europe. And that gets us into the question of cultural exchange. Well, first, let's look at the literary production. And both the Byzantine world and as we shall learn in another lecture, the world of Western Europe really gets high marks for its production of historical works. And one of the reasons we can lecture with such great authority on the figures of the Crusades is that history was a major endeavor at the Comnenian court as well as in Western European circles. And we have some really fine histories, first-rate works in which the author attempts to describe the cause and effect. It's not a chronicle in the traditional early medieval system of writing, where a chronicle was just a record of events as they occurred, very little effort to explain cause and effect. And chronicles can be extremely maddening in some ways. They'll give you very, very specific details in a monastery, for instance, that the abbot increased the wine supply or something, as well as great events, and that it becomes something of a jumble. In this case, we have real history drawing on the historians Thucydides, Herodotus, Xenophon, the great historians of the classical age. Anna Comnena, I will only mention in passing because I've discussed her so much, but she's the first of several major historians in the 12th century that record the reigns of the Comnenian empress. She very much was a student of Thucydides, and when one reads her, one is struck not only in the language but also in some of her descriptions and analysis how much she owed to the great Athenian historian of the 5th century BC, especially her observations and insights into human character. John Cinemus was the historian who picked up the pen after Anna and wrote a history that gives us the reign of John II, that is the brother of Anna, and also most of the reign of Manuel. And his account is more in lines with the historian Herodotus and Xenophon of the classical age. And in that, you can see that very often in the speeches he composes, in which the emperor is supposed to give a speech on a subject, or there's a trial or a debate. This is within a very good classical tradition. And finally, we have a third historian of the first caliber, Niketes Koniatis, who wrote on the period after Manuel, the rather miserable set of emperors, the Angelin emperors. Niketes doesn't have much love for them. His account gives us the Byzantine perspective on the capture of Constantinople in 1204 and of some of the immediate events after.